What's going on, man?
Da-na-na,
little breaking ESPN news there.
As best as I could do it with a mouthful of pretzel.
There you go.
So, you know, last Jelts we did, I might have talked a little shit on CJ Gardner Johnson that I need to walk back.
Why is that?
So, the Eagles signed my favorite safety in the league, CJ Gardner Johnson, who I've always supported and been a fan of. Never once said anything bad about. So they brought him back on a 3-year deal. So,
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, I wasn't, honestly, I was kind of in the same boat. I think we all were. We had a lot of comments about him because he kind of unceremoniously left, and he has since apologized. I think he is ready to win it all. You know, I'm glad he's back. I know it sounds weird, but he got a nice 3-year deal for himself. And look, we needed some secondary help, and you know, for the availability of what was out there, I think this was just another good Howie move. The guy's familiar with the system. He's familiar with the city. He's familiar with the culture. And, you know, look, he also was coming from a Lions team that was sniffing on a Super Bowl. So let's not discount that either.
Yeah. And so that there was a flurry of activity after we recorded our episode, rather. So additions on the defensive side of the ball, linebacker Devin White from the Bucks on a 1-year deal. I like the move, addresses a serious need. We'll see what he does. He had a down year last year, but he's had a pretty good career. Let's see if he can resurrect it here. He's a hero on a 1-year deal, prove it contract, if you will. We've got defensive tackle PJ Mustafa, who signs another 1-year deal. Most of these deals I'm going to talk about right here are all 1-year deals. They're all 1-year deals. He's a former Penn State Nittany Lion, and he's coming to us. Linebacker Oren Burks from the 49ers, 1-year deal. Mostly a special teams player, but could plug in on the defense a little bit.
Yeah, he was a top flight special teams guy for the Niners, so I think that needs to be kind of put out there. So he was kind of like third string. Third stringer on the D, but top flight special teams guy. So,
and I think him signing that might spell the end of Sean Bradley, not the big tall white guy that draft bust for the Sixers. But
I thought that was the same guy.
Yeah, I know. I thought he shrank and just got a really good tan. But they're two totally different people.
Okay.
So that probably spells the end of his tenure as an Eagle. You know, he was the special teams ace, backup linebacker, just kind of the role that Oren Burks fills now. So we'll see what happens there. He's a free agent, so who knows. Brought in cornerback Tyler Hall, who was a nickel corner with the Raiders. Signed him on a 1-year deal. And then this one is the most recent. We signed a wide receiver from the Giants, Paris Campbell, who in his best year, I think it was 2022, had over 600 yards receiving as a third receiver. Intriguing option. I believe he's fairly tall. It's another.
It gives a little bit of depth. So right now, you know, obviously your top two are AJ and Devontae Smith. We've discussed Devontae Parker signing. I think Parker to me would be your third, just based off his, history and credentials. And, not to say that the guy's like an all pro by any means, but I think he's your wide receiver three. I think Campbell slots in as your four. At least it provides a little depth too, because you're going to need somebody there that has, a bit of experience pass catching, just in case, God forbid, someone gets hurt. So right. I think that's a solid move.
He's a 6'1", 205-pound receiver. He was with the Colts with Nick Sirianni in 2019 and 2020. I was right. His best year was in 2022. He had 623 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns. And here's the key. He's a reliable kick return. So you throw him back there with Covey, and then should Covey get hurt or something like that, you've got somebody else back there that can return kicks as well. You know, there's multiple places he can fit in on the team, and hell, if he doesn't, it's a 1 year deal.
Yeah, just
like with Devontae Parker, 1 year deal. You're not losing a whole lot by bringing him in and giving him a shot. I'm not overly concerned. And then we've got a quarterback that we acquired as a backup quarterback. Now, we had all been thinking maybe we'd been hearing Justin Fields get that name was batted around quite a bit. We didn't go that route. We got Mr. Many Hands himself, Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, let's talk on the Justin Fields thing real quick. You know, I think it was rumored, it was batted around prior to anything even coming out when he was still at the Bears. It made a lot of sense for him to come to the Eagles based on the fact that I had always called Justin Fields the poor man Jalen Hurts. He would have slotted right in had Jalen got hurt. He would have understood everything perfectly. And, you know, I don't know that you would have seen, you know, you would have probably seen a drop off, obviously, but I don't know that you would have seen that much of a change in as far as schemes or anything. The crazy thing that's come out since the deal for Kenny Pickett. Now, Kenny Pickett, you know, there were some draft picks that were traded along with him as well. So you had a swap for a third and fourth rounder, and then I believe a seventh round and 25, something like that.
Yeah, it was something like a. I forget the exact. Well, here I'll give you the.
I think the Eagles had swapped up a third round, or swapped a third rounder, and a seventh round, a third rounder for this from this year, which was like the 98th pick or something like that.
Here it is. So, let's see. The Eagles got Pickett and a fourth round pick for a third round pick and a pair of 2025 seventh.
Okay, so and they had several seventh rounders. It was funny because a couple days prior to that trade happening, you know, I'd thought about looking. I was like, they're going to move some of these picks. I mean, there's no way you're going to hold on. I think they had 4 seventh round picks for next year, and I was like, yeah, they're going to do something with them.
Yeah.
Look, Kenny Pickett. I'm not like overly thrilled with him. But look, I mean, you know, you and I chatted about this off pod, obviously, you know, if he doesn't have to touch the ball, I really don't care. You know, but eventually he's going to get in a game. I mean, that's just going to happen. I just wonder how he kind of fits in, and he's entirely different than Jalen Hurts, you know? So I'm just, you know, I'm almost more apprehensive about him than I was having Mariota as a backup, even though I really didn't have much for Mariota. I don't know. What do you think on Kenny Pickett?
I mean, look, here's the deal. He's got something. He was the 20th overall pick 2 years ago, right? Somebody saw something in him. Howie was famously at one of his final game, I think, scouting him. He's somebody that's been on their radar. That said, I hope we don't see him play. But he also grew up an Eagles fan. So maybe he'll have extra motivation should he get in the game. Not that any NFL quarterback should need motivation, you know, or extra motivation, so to speak. But again, as a backup quarterback, yeah, you know what? We all wanted Justin Fields. But apparently Justin Fields wanted to go to a team where he had a shot at being a starting quarterback. And he's not coming to Philly to be a starting quarterback. He's going to be a backup. Unless something catastrophic happens, he's going to be a quarterback. Or he's going to be a backup quarterback. And Kenny Pickett has no such, you know, illusions.
Right. No, and look, like you said, Kenny Pickett, grew up an Eagles fan. The Eagles got through and through. He just happened to spend his college and professional career on the other side of PA, you know, University of Pitt guy, ended up with the Steelers. You know, it just, it, I think it's a hard pill to swallow thinking that Justin Fields was that close, but then maybe it comes out that Justin Fields was like, no, I'm not getting traded there. And no. and the funny thing is on the Steelers side, so you trade Kenny Pickett, because you also grab on to Russell Wilson for basically no money because Denver's having to swallow that one with an insane cap hit, no less. And then, you know, then you grab Justin Fields. So now you have Justin Fields potentially to learn under the tutelage of a Russell Wilson, as much as I don't really care for the guy. He's a great quarterback whenever he was in his day. You know, the guy's a proven winner, maybe not right now, but he knows how to win. And maybe that's what's going to happen. The Pittsburgh Steelers have Wilson for a year. Fields learns under him, and boom, you've got your franchise guy for, you know, beyond that. That, right. To me, that's the train of thought. I mean, I could be wrong. You know, that or they're just trying to figure it out. I don't know.
I mean, and if you look at it, too, look, Justin Fields, were we to take him on to be our backup quarterback, his numbers are palatable for this season. All right. He's only combined, his total cap hit is $3.2 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
2025, his cap hit is $25.6 million.
Yeah, that's a lot.
There was no way in hell that we were taking on a backup quarterback whose cap hit was $25.6 million.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So, you know, I mean, apparently, I mean, I guess it's a club option for a fifth year, and maybe they could avoid that by signing him to, you know, if they don't pick up the fifth year and they just renegotiate his contract, I guess. I'm still not quite sure how the contracts all work out, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's a fucking ton of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be paying that for a backup quarterback is fucking insane.
Yeah, no, it's that's a great point. And here's the thing too. It just said it. It's like, okay, you realize to me that Justin Fields' ceiling would basically be to me directly underneath Jalen Hurts. So to pay that much money for a backup, and let's say Jalen comes crashing down, God forbid, I hope he doesn't. But then, okay, your next option is to overpay Justin Fields. Well, then you've completely kind of painted yourself into a corner because of all the money that you're – yeah, no, I mean – and, yeah, you don't have much – there's not a whole lot of loss really on Kenny Pickett, so
– no.
And, you know, so let's say, you know, worst comes to worst. I mean, you could always look for someone in the draft if he just kind of flames out. And you still have Tanner McKee sitting back there. So who knows, you know, right. I mean, how this shakes out.
And honestly, I've got a lot of, I don't know. I feel like Tanner McKee could end up being a really good quarterback in this league if he ever gets the shot.
Right.
Do I want him to start over Jalen Hurts? Hell no. No. I'm rolling with Jalen until such time as Jalen no longer wants to be the quarterback at the Philadelphia Eagles. Or, you know, if something should happen and you know, I don't think that this could ever, I don't think this would ever actually be the case, but should he not return to his 2022 form or something very close to it, and he shows that he's not the quarterback, all right, then maybe we can give Tanner a shot. But at the same time, I really don't see that happening.
Yeah, no. We chatted about this off pod and even on pod, man. I was super disappointed about, you know, Kelsey retiring, Fletcher retiring, and, you know, some of these other moves that have transpired since. You know, it's we're thankfully they were able to restructure and bring back Josh Sweat. Still not sure what's going to happen to Hassan Reddick. You know, they've apparently moved some money around with him, but they're still trying to trade him. And they still have some other things that are going on. So, you know, there's some movement. It's kind of like, you know, it's a little disheartening. You know, it's like, oh, man, you know, you're busting up the core a little bit. You know, some of your guys are moving on, retiring, whatever. But, man, I tell you what, some of these moves that Howie has made, again, very savvy, you know, reloading. And a lot, I really like, you brought this up, a lot of nice one-year deals for a lot of complimentary players. And, you know, I think that's this. You know, look, it's like, let's see what we have in this guy. Let's see what we have in an Oren Burks. You know, let's see what we have in you know, Paris Campbell. Let's just see. Because, you know, look, you might catch lightning in a bottle with one of these guys, and you never know, you know. I think that's what one thing I love about the Bryce Huff signing so much was that, yeah, you're paying the guy a lot of money, but the dude had 10 sacks last year and didn't even play half the snaps. Like, right. That's awesome. Like, you play that guy a little bit more, you could potentially have a league leader in sacks. So, I mean, this looks good to me on paper right now. So,
yeah. I mean, and the one thing you do have to be wary of is of course, you know, with more playing time comes more fatigue. But again, I'm not necessarily worried about that with Huff.
No, I'm not either. That's just that was the Jets scheme and system just doing that to him, not him necessarily.
So, speaking of the Jets, they made a signing.
Yeah. Yeah. They've, I'll tell you what, man, they cracked me up. So let's not kid ourselves here. The Jets, you know, they beat us last year. So we kind of have to, you know, kind of speak to that a little bit. But whatever, you know, look, they're still the Jets.
Yeah.
And they decided to go out and grab a wide receiver.
Aye, they did.
Which is fine. They grabbed Mike Williams, who I like Mike Williams. I always thought Mike Williams was a good receiver. The problem, though, is that Mike Williams was hurt last year and played all of three games. And the Jets were like, that's good enough to give you $15 million. You know, it's funny. I look at the money the Eagles throw Saquon, and I'm like, my God. For playmaking ability, I know running back and wide receivers are different. I get that. But my God, come on. Really? $15 million for Mike Williams? Man, I don't know. I don't get it. Like, you know, and here's the thing, too. Mike Williams, over his career, he was on year 7th year in the league last year. He's only gone over 1,000 twice. And the only time he ever led the league in anything was 5 years ago, and that was yards per catch.
Yeah.
So, is that $15 million? I mean,
no.
I pay $15 million for Mike Evans 1 year, but not Mike Williams.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Well, all right. So, one of our other favorite punching bags. And I'm gonna put them on blast, even though I'm very pleased with them and I thank them for their service. But there's another receiver that was signed recently that a little funny business going on. Not necessarily that the team or the player did anything wrong, but just how much of a clown can you make yourself look like? Okay, so we all remember a couple of years ago the Titans didn't want to give A.J. Brown a 4-year, $100 million contract, right? So they traded him to us.
Mm-hmm.
They signed Calvin Ridley to a 4-year, $92 million contract.
That's insane.
And last time I checked, Calvin Ridley was not A.J. Brown.
No.
Right? Yeah. So Calvin Ridley, 29 years old. Let's see. Yeah. How old is A.J. Brown? A.J. Brown is 26 years old.
Yeah. I don't get me wrong. I really, 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 really like Calvin Ridley. I think he has tremendous talent. But this is a guy that, you know, had a really, really checkered career so far. So here's a guy who didn't play at all in 22 because of, you know, it's a little, you know, little off-field troubles. Comes back last year and, you know, plays in 17 games and just cracks 1,000 yards. He's basically, you know, Trevor Lawrence's new guy to go to. But it's not outstanding numbers to me. Like, no. 76 catches, 1,016, 13.4 yards per catch, 8 touchdowns. You know, he's good, but, man, those numbers don't really just stand out to me. And I'll tell you why. Because he's at 76 catches. He was targeted 136 times. So, I just don't see it. It's like you get that many targets, and it's like, to me, look, he was targeted. Okay, let me go back to 19 for him. And I maybe this is why I say this, because it's the same pattern with him. 2019, which is the year before his really good year, he's targeted 93 times and catches 63 passes. Similar patterns, but his yards per catch are the same. They're basically 13.7. I just don't see how that guy gets nearly $100 million based off basically had one really great year in 2020.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
You know,
and I don't know. Do you remember when the noise was, oh, the Eagles are going to sign him. He's going to be their number one receiver before he got suspended for the for gambling?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that was everything. And then even when he came back, it was, oh, the Eagles are going to go after Calvin Ridley. Why? Why is everybody riding his dick?
Yeah. His success rate as far as receiving has dropped from nearly 60% in 2019, which was his high, to the upper 40s for this past year. And so I just don't get it. I just don't get it. And there's going to be more of a drop-off. Yeah, it's insane. So actually, maybe the Jets aren't stupid for giving Mike Williams $15 million after that one.
That's true.
I will say one move I did like. I thought this was savvy as all get out, because this move cost the Bears nothing, was trading for Keenan Allen. I mean, other than the money thing, but yeah. Talk about getting a top flight receiver. I don't care how old Keenan Allen is. I've always been a big fan of his. He can catch anything. And look, Keenan Allen, I'm just going to throw up his numbers real quick.
Yeah.
He again, put up another just, you know, and very quietly too, because I don't think the guy's heralded enough. 108 catches, 1,200 yards. You know, the guy just does it. And here's the thing. You know what the difference between him and Calvin Ridley is? Keenan Allen has 6 seasons of 1,000 yards or more, and almost 7, actually. You know, he had a little down year in 2020, but the guy is just – he just catches.
Right.
It's a genius move. Here's the problem, though, is that – and to circle back to the Justin Fields thing. As much as I wanted the Eagles to have him, Justin Fields ended up with the Eagles, and now the Bears have – said, okay, we're going to draft Caleb Williams. So,
yeah. Dude, can you think of a better landing place for that kid?
No, I can't, actually.
Like, because legitimately, look at, all right, let's look at the weapons that they got him. No. Even if you just look at, just, we're going to look at the two additions to the offense that they brought in, okay? DeAndre Swift.
Yes. And
Keenan Allen.
Yeah, no.
What more? Like, I mean, obviously they need an offensive line to block in front of them. But they've got how many picks in the first round? What, don't they have two?
Yeah, they have an insane amount of, like, they're, let's see, Bears draft picks in 2024. We're just gonna throw it up real quick. And we don't really talk a whole lot of things, but here they have the number 1 and the number 9 overall picks. So you're going to end up with, you know, potentially, and here's the thing, I don't know who they go with number 9. I assume it would be a lineman or a defender. You know, I don't know. I'm not a mock draft guy. We try to chit-chat about Eagles and their stuff, but I don't know who they go after. But obviously Caleb Williams is going to go number one to them at this point, because now you've basically jettisoned all your quarterbacks. So
yeah. I mean, all right, let's look at Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. Okay. So obviously he has Chicago taking Caleb Williams one, right? So then we go, let's see, the Bears, they have taken wide receiver Rome Odunze.
Oh, wow, yeah. Dang, so could you imagine?
So your wide receiver core then is Keenan Allen,
DJ Moore, and Rome.
And then him, dude.
Damn.
That is sick.
Well, yeah. I'm going to have to start following the Bears a little more. Except I mean, I'm still
going to follow the Bears, but like, dude, so, and here's, so this is something I wanted to discuss too, and this is making me think about it. They're saying that Brock Bowers.
You think he'll fall?
So Brock Bowers, they have going 12. He's a tight end from Georgia. We know the Eagles, you know, have really been going after Georgia players.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. So the Eagles draft, what, 22? So they have the Eagles taking Nate Wiggins, cornerback from our team, the Clemson Tigers. I'm wondering, like, I like that pick. I love that pick, as a matter of fact. I think Wiggins is going to be awesome, and they definitely need help in the at cornerback, especially if they don't trade for Patrick Surtain too, or the second. Patrick Surtain too. Patrick Surtain the second.
Patrick Surtain the sequel.
Yeah. I've been hearing a lot of people talk about maybe, depending upon how far Bowers drops, that the Eagles trade up to take him.
I could see that, man. And, dude, I would, man. And you talk about a weapon. And, of course, you know, the familiarity with all the Georgia guys.
Right.
Dude.
Man. Now, I mean, let's be honest here. If we're being serious and we're thinking about how the Eagles actually draft, if they're trading up, I feel like they're going for a tackle. I feel like they're going, you know, or a guard or something. I feel like they're going for an offensive lineman.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and that makes sense. I mean, they're going to need to start reloading after a while. You know, you do have, you know, look, the retirement of Kelsey. You do have other guys aging at this point. So it's like you're going to have to reload. And so it'd be good to probably take a high pick on a lineman. You know, to me, you use your pick, or if they either use your pick or you trade around, unless something like just strikes you as like, oh, I can grab this guy. It's either offensive lineman or some kind of help in the secondary.
Right.
You know, or possibly a linebacker. I don't know that they go that route that early, but to me, it's in that kind of order. Now, again, if you can move around and make a move for a Brock Bowers, then obviously you do it. But I don't see them obviously pulling that off. I mean, you'd have to probably trade way too much for that kind of movement at this point. But
so let me ask you this. Would you be upset if the Eagles ended up taking Storm Duck?
Storm Duck.
Yeah. Storm Duck.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that guy. The guy from Louisville.
Yeah, the guy from Louisville. He's a cornerback. They're saying I believe he's the 10th ranked corner in college. So, you know, I'm thinking maybe we end up with Storm Duck at some point.
Hey, you know what? It could be like our version of Ha Ha Clinton Dix, or you know, whatever.
Listen, I'm not gonna lie, man. I want Storm Duck to be an Eagle, and if Storm Duck becomes an Eagle, I'm probably buying his. I won't buy his jersey, but I'll buy one of his T-shirts.
There you go. Yeah.
says duck on the back.
Wonder what number he would have though. He'd has to have like a, duck. That's a good duck related number. I mean, his college number is, what is his college number? Pulling up the old Storm Duck. Now, he's number 29. I don't know that that's a duck number, though.
Now, let's see. Are any numbers... what's the word I'm looking for here?
Duck-related?
Associated with ducks.
See, this is the content everyone craves. That's
ducks
not going to be...
Ducks don't know numerals, and ducklings don't have... names. So how do ducks know if any ducklings are missing? That's the first link that pops up on Google when you search, are any numbers associated with ducks?
That's great. You know what the best part is that that's kind of like our regular normal pod just spilled over into this one. How that just happened.
Here you go. This is from Geeks for Geeks. Check whether a number is a duck number or not. So a duck number is a positive number which has zeros present in it. For example, 3,210, which I don't think they can fit on a jersey.
No, so, that's it. No, we got it. 3,210. That's his number.
So does not contain zeros at the beginning. All right. So please note that a number with only leading zeros is not considered as a duck number. So. Would 20 be a duck number? He can't be 20 because that's Dawkins. But
yeah, no. I don't know.
Maybe he, what about 30? Who's wearing 30 right now?
Is anyone wearing the Eagles 30?
Let's look at the Eagles app here and see. I know this is the content that our three listeners tune in for.
We've actually had more on this than I was kind of surprised, actually. There's a lot of obviously a lot of unnumbered players, if you will.
Yeah.
There is no number 30 right now, though, so it's
all okay. Right. So we're going to draft Storm Duck, and he's going to be number 30.
There you go.
Because.
All right, so let's chat real quick. We do have some other Philly sports stuff that's getting close here to starting with baseball. I know we've discussed before some of the free agency moves and obviously the re-signings and whatever.
We didn't talk about re-signing Wheels.
No, we haven't. He got a heck of a deal. So a lot of money for a very short amount of time, but he himself said that he's like, I'm not pitching when I'm old. So good for him on cashing in. And look, he's one of the top starters in baseball. I you know, regardless of what I see with the Giants signing Snell and, you know, oh, they've got a 1-2 punch and whatever the Dodgers have and all this. Look, give me Nola, give me Wheeler, 1-2 any day of the week. And then we'll follow it up with a little Ranger. And, now we can talk. And Christopher Sanchez keeps improving. And it just, you know, it looks good. Again, it looks good on paper. Hopefully, you know, Taiwan can be Taiwan. And they get, you know, maybe potentially something out of one of the young guys this year would be nice. I know Painter is still recovering. I believe McAble is going to be obviously starting, you know, in the minors, but you know, maybe he'll be able to contribute at some point this year. You know, because I don't know. At some point, you have to get something out of your young guys, whether it's a trade value or, you know, contributions with the big league roster. Not a whole lot of moves offensively. Obviously, we've talked about Whit Merrifield. He's been, you know, hitting the ball well in the spring training, hitting 370 something. Some of the other guys are underperforming. But look, spring training, the Eagles, the Phillies are typically slow starters. I just hope that this season might be a little bit different, where they're not having to play catch up in June and July.
Right.
You know, at least maybe, you know, get a little bit of stay a little bit above 500. rather than being 6-7 games out late in May.
Right.
Six or seven games under 500 late in May. That's always troubling. But then they always tend to turn it on. We've talked about before, I think health is a big factor. Bryce is already having some issues. I know they're resting him now. I have no qualms. I think he'll be back, you know, no problem. I think, again, to me, as I said last year, the big things hinge on where's Castellanos back going to be, because he's in his off year, if you will. It was hot last year, and now he's on. So let's see if he's
here.
Yeah. Yep. So let's see. I don't know. And then I know Schwarber, you know, how much longer are you going to sit with him up top? And then what kind of a leash do you give Rojas offensively? That's really your big questions this year, because look, Rojas is a class A defender, but the man's probably going to hit like 100 this year. So, I mean, it's like,
oh, well, I don't know, man. Cause Rojas has been putting in a ton of work last season. During the regular season, he's hitting 300 something before the postseason.
Oh yeah. I think the problem with him is like he's the postseason hit. And then again, spring training, he is not unwell at all. Again, whatever it is. I just hope he figures it out at some point. Cause man, his glove is desperately needed. Much more so than practically anyone else out there, other than maybe Brandon Marsh. So, I don't know. I don't know where we go here. The bullpen seems to be pretty good. I'm just glad we don't have to sit through another year of, you know, and look, Trent Kimball did great for us early on, but then as the season unfolded, oof.
Yeah. That was painful.
Yeah.
What do you think of, not to cut you off, but what do you think of Ranger going, I know it's spring training, but Ranger going 10 innings scoreless?
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, man, he is like the reason that they would win an extended postseason series. Like, really, to me, because that guy, he is unflappable. You know what you're going to get out of him. Wheeler brings it, and Nola is a gamer, and you kind of have an idea of what you're going to have those two. Suarez, when he pitches in the postseason, it's no different than him pitching in spring training, because he's such a character too. If the guy wasn't around so many great pitchers, he's a guy that I could see winning a friggin' Cy Young at some point. You know, he's just that good.
You know who he reminds me of? His demeanor. Not his pitching yet, but I mean, maybe he'll get there. He reminds me of Cliff Lee.
Exactly. He's cool. He's calm. He's certainly the best I've ever seen whenever a ball comes bounce right back up to him, and he just kind of does the and he waits, like he makes the runner run it out.
Yeah,
he does that on purpose. Now, at one point, it's going to bite him. I know it's going to bite him at some point, just to see some burner go after him. But he's so fun to watch, and even when he has a down game, he's still competitive. Right. You know, and that, I think that's what I love about him. Like I said, Christopher Sanchez has really, you know, stepped up again. I guess we could just kind of see where Taiwan's at in his head. You know, I don't know where that's at. And then at some point, they're going to have to get some depth. And I think this time the depth's not going to come from trade. It's going to come from the minors. And I think that's going to be a McGarry or Abel thing at this point. The only major unsigned starter, I believe, is Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that's an option right now.
No, I mean, I'd like to see it, but I just don't. I think you're right. I don't think that that's going to happen. But you never know, man. The Phillies are weird like that.
Yeah. I think it's a little late in the game. Again, they might. And of course, you know, look, knock on wood, I mean, someone could get hurt. But you know, you've got a bunch of other teams that could happen to as well, and a bunch of other very competitive teams. So I honestly think if Montgomery ends up with like the Yankees or, you know, something, some team like that, honestly, but I don't know. Let's see. Have you been following the Flyers at all?
Yeah, man, the Flyers are kind of falling off a little bit. Having some issues. I think that fatigue is finally starting to set in for Erickson. You know, this is the first year he's been counted on as to be a starter, and he's kind of wearing down. The team's kind of slowing down. We face a little bit of adversity with Sean Couturier. He's kind of slowed down a little bit, and you know, they're not hitting on all cylinders like they were earlier in the season. Right now, they're still, let's see where they stand in. They are the third wild card team they're in third place in the Metropolitan Division. They would be the sixth seed. Tampa and Detroit would be your two wild cards.
Gotcha.
And then Washington's right behind Detroit. You know, Tampa's got one more point than us. So it's kind of funny how this goes. So in the Metropolitan, you have the Rangers in first with 96 points. You have the Hurricanes in second with 94 points. And then way back in third place, you have the Flyers with 79. So there's a clear delineation between the top two teams in the Metropolitan Division and then the Flyers. And even if you go up to, if you look at the Atlantic Division, you're looking at the Bruins with 97 points, the Panthers with 94 points, and then Toronto with 87 points. So, you know, the Flyers are playing much more like a wild card team. They just happen to be in the weaker of the two Eastern Conference divisions.
Right, right.
So they make, you know, they're good for that. They're a minus six in goal differential. So they've got 208 goals for, 214 goals against. You know, they're 4-3 in the shootout. So they just lost today in overtime. They're a young team. A young team. They're everything we said they were. They're still an exciting team to watch. Obviously, they're within striking distance of the playoffs. Nothing to really be unhappy about. I just kind of wish that they would not have ostracized their captain.
Right, right.
Which this is the one thing about Tortorella that I'm not a fan of is sometimes he's a bit heavy-handed with some of the players. And you know, Sean Couturier coming back off of some major injuries, missed essentially 2 years, comes back this year. Yeah, he's been struggling, but I'm sure that being a healthy scratch as the captain of the fucking team doesn't exactly help his headspace. So yeah. You know, considers that. I mean, they'll play a playoff series. They might make it through the first round. Hell, they might surprise us and go all the way to the cup. It's happened before, but it's one of those things where, you know, whatever we get out of this year is golden.
Right.
I'll take it. And, you know, let's keep improving on it, get something to build on and then go on from there.
Yeah. And I guess we'll love. I agree, and let's finish up real quick too. We'll talk Sixers just a minute. Sixers again, they had a pretty decent start. Embiid gets hurt, Maxey goes down, and again, now you're sitting on a team that's, you know, a few games above 500. It's just, you know, it sucks because it's like you had the league's MVP, and now you're just kind of, you know, I can't say dead in the water. But you know, if by some miracle happens that you do end up doing anything, it's not going to matter. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. They're kind of a unfortunately, you're having to rely on a lot of guys that should not be your ones. It should not be your top guys. And it's a shame. It just is one of those things where it's like injuries is just bit them, you know?
Yeah.
It just bit them. And, you know, it just happens, man. I've actually watched more basketball than I have in years, mainly because I was so excited for the fact that Embiid had won MVP and was curious to see what the Sixers would do. And I'm not an NBA guy. I still really can't stand most of what happens to this day in it, outside of a few players that I find exciting. But yeah, and that has fell off, man. It sucks. It's the injury bug. I mean, that's just, it happens.
Right.
So, I mean,
and hopefully, you know, I'm hoping that the injury to Embiid, he comes back for the playoffs and he's good. He's good to go. The team is likable, dude. You got, you know, Tyrese Maxey is awesome. You know, Tobias Harris, you got Robert Covington back, you got Kelly Oubre. And that dude was hit by a fucking car and came back and is playing this year.
Yeah.
Averaging 14.9 points a game. Yeah. You know, the team is likable. They're super likable. And you want them to do well. So I'm hoping that they, you know, pull it together in playoffs and really make some noise. But it's rough. It's really rough this year with how things are going. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully Embiid comes back and is able to play to the top of his ability in the playoffs, and he takes him somewhere.
Yeah, that would be nice. Well, man, it's been fun. I know we really hyper focused on the Eagles last couple episodes, and as we I think our next Jelts, though, we'll have to kind of give a whether the season has started or not. We'll give a good Phillies. A Phillies preview, just to kind of see what we think. And
yes,
it might be a good idea that we wait until a couple games into the season, to be honest.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But no, I think we need to do those in diligence, and then at that point we might have a good indicator of where the Flyers and the Sixers playoff hopes and chances are. So otherwise, what are your last thoughts for this, Jelts?
You know what? It's getting to be about that time of year where we got to say, fuck the Braves.